You are Locked On Pelicans, your daily podcast on the New Orleans Pelicans, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to another edition of Locked On Pelicans, the daily podcast covering your favorite team, the New Orleans Pelicans, and NBA as a whole for the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day, available on iTunes, wherever you get your podcasts from. I'm your host, Jake Madison, at Nola Jake on Twitter, here with you all on this Wednesday, Draft Wednesday, here on the Locked On Podcast Network and Locked On Pelicans, as well as over on LockedOnPelicans.com. By the way, you all need to check the site out. We've got some great content on there right now. Looking at each one more, chatting with David Wesley. We got some great stuff about rotations and minutes as well. That's going to be going up at some point today. So make sure you check out LockedOnPelicans.com. But here on this Draft Wednesday, where we've got to recap a weird game, a disappointing game, a game that shouldn't surprise us given the Pelicans, and we'll break that down for you. The final score in that one, 116-106 loss to the Washington Wizards, and frankly, that is not describing how unclose this game was. The Pelicans certainly feel like they lost by more than 10, probably at multiple times. We're going to talk about that game. Then it's going to kind of slide us right into a discussion of the article that Adrian Wojnarowski put up on ESPN.com today. Go read that if you haven't. Talking about Anthony Davis, his mindset, what he expects from this team. Game like last night certainly is going to make him upset. And then we're going to use that to transition into kind of just the state of this franchise and the direction. I don't know. We'll get all sort of existential here, a little odd with it. But I think it's something we need to talk about a little bit as well. So we'll discuss all that and more in today's edition of Locked On Pelicans, brought to you by PlayDraft.com or just Draft.com. So as I said in the opening, that was a weird game, and I'm a bit at a loss on how to describe it. And usually when you look at these things, you kind of want to tell the story of it or take one side in things that happened. And again, it just sums up this team and how I've been feeling about them and been talking about it on the radio and on here, where there's a lot of good. Pelicans had 48 points in the paint. That was what you wanted to see. Davis came out firing after his comments to Adrian Wojnarowski with 37 points, 9 rebounds, came alive offensively in the second quarter. Cousins did his usual Cousins thing, 26 points, 13 rebounds. He cut down his turnovers to just 2 this game. And the Pelicans had a large, right around 20 assists. They got to the free throw line, though, 40 times. That's a season high so far, I believe. Most of that coming from Davis and Cousins, who combined went 25 times. It's all great. Yet they still lost by 10 and were down 23 points in the first half and then were down 25 points in the second half. So it goes to show you that despite all of that good, there was so much bad. 16 turnovers, 25 points off turnovers, even though I'm not a big fan of that stat, but we're going to talk about it in a second. Fast break points for Washington being 13. It felt like more than that, and that was a lot of damage done to open the game, really, for the Wizards against the Pelicans here. At one point, Pelicans had played 7 guys, only 3 scored. Your bench, you know, no one really contributed that much, unfortunately. The high off the bench was with 2 guys with 4 points, while the rest of the bench, each player that played, had 2 points in it. That's not good. That's terrible. Giving up a ton of 3-point shots, the Wizards made 14. They shot 40% on the night, whereas the Pelicans' shooting woes reverted to what we saw early on in the season. They made just 5 threes on the night, shot 42.4%. And the bad in last night's game beat out the good, and this is what we've said. You know, you're going to get a lot of good and bad from this team. And just whichever one shows up more, is there more good, then they're going to win. Is there more bad, then they're probably going to lose. And we saw it. You know, the Pelicans in the first quarter scored just 19 points, allowed the Wizards to score 36, then came roaring back once they got into the bonus in the second quarter, getting to the free throw line. They got to the line 24 times in the first half alone. They've only done that 10 times all season in entire games. Goes to show you how aggressive they were being and attacking once they realized that's kind of what it was. And that was after Alvin Gentry picked up a technical, which kind of lit a spark under this team. Then they come out in the third quarter and score a total of 15 points. That's two quarters combined, you score 24 points. It was terrible. The offense just was completely derailed before finally starting to get some offense and life back into them late, you know, in the second half of the fourth quarter where they clawed back. But ultimately, it was, you know, too much or too little too late, and the Pelicans were out of it. In quarters two and four, they scored 36 points both times, and then 19 and 15 in the first and second. Scott Kushner, who I was texting with a little bit today, has said this earlier on in the year. You know, we still have a lot more questions than answers. And I think that was because we were waiting to see if this team was good or bad. Maybe they're just in the middle of the road in a 500 team that's going to play 500 ball like this. You know, maybe it's as simple as that being the answer. And I think, you know, you start to feel that way, especially after this game where the Pelicans really had a chance on this kind of road trip to go out and do some things they needed to do and just haven't. You lose terribly to the Bucks and the Denver Nuggets on the road, blowing that lead. And then you've got kind of this game where you could have played well and just didn't. And I don't get it. It's just disappointing to see from this team. Again, just makes you feel like they're 500, and, you know, this is kind of what it's going to be. And that still might get you into the playoffs in this Western Conference that's kind of down right now. But overall, they need some consistency, and that's what you see. The box score for the quarters tells you 19-36, 15-36. Zero consistency, just like there's zero consistency on a night-to-night basis. Again, some games they're okay with turnovers. For the most part, recently they've been not. And, you know, this was one where everyone really turned the ball over. Nelson had four, Holiday had three. You know, Holiday, and I've said we were going to see this happening, you guys, since Anthony Davis has come back from the injury and they said he was on no minutes restriction at all. Also, by the way, got an x-ray in the game on his wrist. They were concerned about that as it was hurting. Came back negative, so we're cool there. But again, going to the locker room in halftime, missing a little bit of the game when he didn't come out to start the third due to getting x-rays. But Holiday goes out, scores 13 total points, 5 assists, 3 turnovers, 2 steal, block, cool. Just a pedestrian game for a guy they're paying $127 million to. And I said, I don't know if he's going to work with, you know, on the court at the same time with Davis and Cousins. We've kind of seen it. And his biggest games have all come in losses, I believe, for the most part. And have been there really when Davis isn't going or is out entirely. And, man, you've just got to kind of look at this team and be like, there's talent. I don't know if it's Gentry. I don't know if it's the players. I don't know if it's Dell Demps for assembling this weird collection of talent. I don't know if this would work under any coach. It's just, as I said on Twitter last night, this wasn't going to be an angry cast. I'm just kind of like disappointed, and you can probably hear the exhaustion in my voice talking about this because I don't have answers other than they're just mediocre. And maybe that gets you kind of far, but as we're going to talk about in the next segment and then the segment after that, that's, you know, that being mediocre here isn't just in the long term, it's not going to be a good thing. And when we talk about what Anthony Davis said in his comments, you know, I think it'll make more sense coming up in just a minute. Fantasy sports fans, listen up. Did you know that your chances of winning on draft.com and the draft app are 80% better than on salary cap sites? That's why Draft is my favorite fantasy site. No more getting crushed by the pros, and I'm pumped. I'm going to be out of town, out of Louisiana. I'm going to get to play on there. We're going to have some fun. So no more getting crushed by the pros. It's not just me. More than 1 million people that have already downloaded Draft 2. Play in a real live NBA draft right now. Be done in under 5 minutes and get paid out the next day. Drafts are filling every second, so you can join one whenever you want. Look, it's a snake draft. It's not a salary cap thing. That's the biggest point here. Those salary cap things, you've got to kind of go for dark horses on the day, fringe players that you think are going to break out, and it's basically a crapshoot. You don't know, you know, when random little guys, like kind of each one more now, but other players are going to break out. You don't want to put your money on the line from that. In a snake draft, you draft who you want, and you get them and no one else does because you can't be competing with other people by having just Anthony Davis and stuff on your roster when they do as well. And all new players for Draft in the Draft app get a free entry into a real money draft when you make your first deposit. But you have to use my promo code LockedOnPelicans. That's right, playing a real money draft for free just by using my promo code LockedOnPelicans. But it gets even better. Draft is so sure you'll love it that they're even offering Locked On Pelicans listeners a money back guarantee. Money back guaranteed. Try it. You don't like it. Cool. You can get some money back. Up to $100. Just search Draft in your app store or go to draft.com and come play for free right now with the promo code LockedOnPelicans. So yesterday, Adrian Wojnarowski with ESPN.com posted an article about Anthony Davis, which then got aggregated into oblivion, making it look like he was asking for a trade or that Cousins and Rondo were trying to tell him it's okay to leave. And none of that's true. And the article, when you read it, is really, really fair and actually shouldn't surprise you. And look, you guys, I've talked about on here, and this comes, you know, from me talking with Davis and other people, that he is hyper conscious of his legacy and wanting to be one of the best players ever. I mean, ever, that, like that high, not I want to be good, I want to win multiple titles. Wants to go down as one of the best to ever play the game. And he knows that all of those guys who are considered on that top tier, like the toppest of the top, and look at Kobe Bryant just getting two numbers retired and five championships, and all the players that came out for that retirement ceremony was just unreal. He's got to win. You got to win a lot. You can't do it with just necessarily one title and be considered the best of the best. Look at all LeBron has done, and it still took three titles for him to really be considered maybe the best player of all time. In my opinion, he is. So Davis talks a lot about this here in the Adrian Wojnarowski article and basically just says it comes down to winning for him and that they're 2 years removed, two and a half, let's say now, from the playoffs, and it feels, as he says, like it was 20 years ago that he was there. And it bugs him. And, you know, winning just really, really matters for him. And he says, he goes, winning, that's it. That's how you're judged. You can score, you can dominate, you can do whatever, but they calculate everything off winning. You know that, I know that, everybody in the league knows that. I hear it all the time. Anthony is a good player, but he hasn't won anything. He's not a winner. He hasn't been to the playoffs in 2 years. He says it bothers him. And this is where it kind of gets interesting. And in a way, he doesn't quite throw the Pelicans franchise under the bus, but he's holding them accountable, I think is the best way to put it. When reading this article, you can kind of see the clock starting to tick in, you know, the mind of AD here. And maybe he's not asking for a trade. He said all the right things that he loves it here. But, you know, you've got to wonder if maybe further down the line, winning takes priority over everything else. And it sounds like it does. And I've told you guys it does. He could love it here and he does. However, at a certain point, he might just have to leave. You know, it says here, you know, he does, however, long for a well-run, well-balanced franchise. He sees it with San Antonio and Oklahoma City and plans to hold his team accountable to find a way. Cousins' arrival is a start, but the Pelicans are devoid of depth and developing young talent. And it says he loves New Orleans and swears he doesn't long for a major market. And I think we've seen this a little bit more recently in the NBA that players just want to go to a well-run franchise regardless of the market. Look at Greg Monroe spurning the New York Knicks at one point to go to the Milwaukee Bucks. That's kind of what you're seeing. Look at all these players take less money to go play with the Spurs because they're well-run and you have a better chance of winning there. So, you know, none of this is a surprise. I don't know if it's like he really wants to go to Boston, who, by the way, they mentioned in the article, and again, this is no surprise to anyone, has been calling and trying to trade for him, and the Pelicans aren't going to do it. So, you know, it does, though, you know, put it in your mind that maybe he does have kind of a glance or a look away from New Orleans here. And if you're him, it's okay. You know, I understand it, and maybe he should be having this, but one of the things we need to talk about is set the record straight here is that, look, this isn't an indication on New Orleans, and I know people get very upset when things like this come out, or Boston always trying to poach the New Orleans players because it's a small market versus a big market and they have no respect for the city. It has nothing to do with that. This would be about any franchise that's been at times, I'm not going to indict the whole thing here, poorly run and hasn't been able to put this enough talent and a good team around this transcendent player in Anthony Davis. And it'd be frustrating if I were him, and I think I really do understand it. I'm not going to say, you know, I sympathize or empathize here with him because, frankly, he's making so much money, like, okay, cool, whatever. But I get it. This matters to him, and he's not happy with the losing. And then a game like last night against the Washington Wizards where at one point he just put the team on his back, again, 37 points, 9 rebounds, was quite on the rebounding front in the second half. That was a weird thing for the Pelicans, kind of. I don't quite know how to do it, but they put it. But they lost that battle kind of badly, even though the numbers remain kind of close. That, you know, this, it's got to be disappointing night in, night out to go put up 37 points and you can't get the win. And the Pelicans, you know, again, did some nice things. For the most part, they held Bradley Beal in check a little bit. John Wall got kind of his, but, you know, overall, as I'm about to sneeze here potentially, and the magic of editing, if I do, will make that go away. I get it. But I think this is the first real indication that the clock is ticking in his mind. And I don't hate that he's publicly calling out the team and talking about, you know, kind of calling out teammates, calling out ownership, calling out the front office, because we said we've been frustrated with the lack of accountability for this franchise right now. And Davis, you know, look, the franchise doesn't have to listen to fans. They could care less about all of that. But you know what? You know who they're going to listen to? They are certainly going to listen to their best player in Anthony Davis and the one guy that they need to keep. Now, you know, I don't know why necessarily he did this publicly. Maybe it's kind of too light a fire to get them to make a move sooner rather than later. But, you know, absolutely, they need to do something. And now you can see it. Maybe there's a little bit of a fear that they're going to lose this player. And if you're fans, this should worry you. You know, look, you're not going to feel bad for the guy here. You shouldn't hate him if he does walk in a kind of Kevin Durant situation. They have every right to do that. But, you know, this has been just mediocrity from this team. And last night really sums it up again, that, again, it's just all this mediocrity we've seen. And fans say they're sick of it. They don't want to support the team anymore. Well, what about a player who's mired in the middle of it and doing everything he can? Not an easy thing to really, you know, kind of come back from or want to stay from. And again, this clock's starting to tick. The franchise needs to wake up and try and do something. Again, check out LockedOnPelicans.com. Get your latest news on your favorite team, the New Orleans Pelicans. And good insight you're not going to get anywhere else. You all want more nuanced discussion of the Pelicans, more different kinds of looks at them. We've got that over there at LockedOnPelicans.com. So it kind of went a little more stream of consciousness than I wanted to in the past segment, but I want to talk about kind of where this team is right now. So look, despite Davis saying all this, he's still under contract and he's not going anywhere this year unless he straight up goes to the team and says, I want to trade. It's not going to happen. They're not going to move him this season, even if he were to really say that. He's under contract and it's as simple as that. Boston fans can cry and want him all they want. They have every right to, you guys. We make up fake trades that bring really good players to the Pelicans on the cheap and for like pennies on the dollar of that player all the time. So it's okay. No one's going to make this Pelicans team trade Anthony Davis other than Anthony Davis, the Pelicans front office, and the trade team partner that they find that offers something that they're willing to accept. That's it. So you don't need to worry about it. So you guys, put all that other stuff out of your mind. Don't go hunting for that. And please, don't come pulling that crap onto my timeline. I don't pay attention to it because it doesn't affect a damn thing and it doesn't matter to me. Rather, you guys read, as I said on Locked On Pelicans, said on Twitter the other day, read on LockedOnPelicans.com about Etuan Moore and the role he's playing in a shooting and how he's getting some of his looks and why he's been playing so well for this franchise. Put all that other stuff out of your mind and focus on what's going on right now. What does this Pelicans team need to kind of do going forward? They still have Davis. They're still in the Western Conference playoff race right here. After this loss, and I'm recording, of course, the night after or the night I'm recording this yesterday, you guys. They're going to be 15 and 16. They're still going to be, I don't know if Utah played last night. Let's find out. I think they did. Basically still going to be a half game up at the very worst in the Western Conference above the Jazz for what would be the eighth spot, which is where the Pelicans are basically going to be right now. It's okay. They're still in the playoff race. They're still in playoff contention. And, you know, again, they're better than, you know, the other teams. It's really a nine-team race for these eight spots, really, you know, five spots. And it's going to be, what is it, six teams, basically, for these five spots. But still, this is, they're still in an okay spot. And despite kind of being negative tonight and that loss last night being deflating, this team can still go out and play and win games, as we've seen. They haven't beaten great teams, of course. We've seen that a little bit, though they do have that a couple good wins here. However, they're not going to go trading Anthony Davis tomorrow, and there's still some time to find to kind of figure it out. Now, the question I get asked the most, and I'm not going to answer this here, and maybe we'll kind of have a nuanced discussion the another day about it and just have some fun with how ridiculous I find this crap. It is not an either-or thing when it comes to Alvin Gentry or the players, as I've seen so much. One side just blames Gentry, and another side just says it's the players. You guys, it's somewhere in between. Don't make it an either-or thing, a binary thing, a black and white thing. There's a lot more discussion to be had about this team. It's a combination of both. Frankly, if you want to blame it on one person, it might be Dell Demps and the front office for putting this roster together that's not winning. I also don't think it's just that either. You could also say it's the other 29 franchises in the league for not trading their best players to the Pelicans for second round picks and other assorted crap. It's not that. It's a mix of everything. And in the next couple of days, we've got Thursday and Friday's podcast with a game, I think, coming up on Friday. So we'll talk about maybe some of the areas where it's gray in tomorrow's podcast. I think that'll be a good topic. To try and look at what's really going on with this team. Because, again, we don't have answers. And right now all we know is just, hey, they're mediocre. And they're 500, a little under 500 now. So, as I wrap up the podcast here, and I'm going to say it right now, that's going to do it for this edition of Locked On Pelicans. Tomorrow, we'll look at kind of some of those gray areas because I think that would be worth it to try and add some more nuance to the discussion so that people stop coming into my timeline and notifications saying it's either or. It's not. It's a combination of everything. There's a lot to unpack here. We'll try and do some of that tomorrow on this podcast on Locked On Pelicans. So thank you all for listening. As always, I'm your host, Jake Madison, at NolaJake on Twitter. I'll be back with you all tomorrow.